hope you recognize that theme song, because if you do, it means that you are a return listener to this broadcast today. This is Let's Talk About Jesus with Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and we're so happy to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF and other fine ministries, and just a good family station where you can be blessed by it all day long, 24/7. It streams by computer to all the states of the United States and all of the nations of the world. So anyone who is listening from anywhere on the World Wide Web, we do welcome you today. And if you have downloaded this teaching from our website, we're so glad you came to visit with us. You've discovered there's no strings attached, and so others may know by your testimony, amen, that you can come here. There's nothing for sale. You can't buy anything at our website. There's just nothing for sale. But boy, there's something that is priceless to be received, and that is the Word of the Lord. So if you want to look over some titles of teachings, recent teachings right here on WMAF that are on our website to be received, and if you want to receive sermons on subjects that are of interest to you and that you feel would be a blessing to you, there are many, many sermons available to you brought live from our church services right here at the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida, an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God since 1974, and I've been privileged to be the senior pastor and founder of this ministry here in the city of Tampa, 38 years in January. Praise God. So as we get ready to go to the Word of God today, we pray that if you're a Christian, you will listen very clearly and concisely to what God's Word has to say. The coming of the Lord, my dear friends, is so very, very near. And in this day of predictions that do not come to pass, and it's almost a laughed at message, but you know, laughing at the message really fulfills a last day prediction and prophecy. And that is that scoffers would come in the last day saying, "Where's the sign of His coming? Ever since our fathers slept or died, all things remain as they are unto this very day." But the Bible said God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any perish, but that all have eternal life. It said in the midst of that, that a day is 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. So what seems like a long time passing to us in light of eternity is just a moment. So even though God marks time differently, He did designate a conditional, circumstantial time upon the earth that would signify that we are in the last days. In fact, I believe I can say prophetically that we are in the last of the last days, using Bible prophecy and current events and the spiritual conditions in the church and the changes in the culture, that we are living in the time that Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, to His children, to His church, to the redeemed, lift up your head. Don't let it get you down, because your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. Another place said that in certain circumstances you can know that it's even at the doors. When someone's standing at my front door, they're pretty close. Praise God. They're not on their way to my house anymore. They're standing just outside. So we are very close, biblically speaking, and not just making predictions, but according to the Word of God, not counting the day or the hour, because no man knows that, but knowing that we're in that season of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. This message becomes very crucial to the saved and to the unsaved. If you don't know Jesus today, please stay tuned. Amen. There's a type of the coming of the Lord and the securing of the righteous from the judgment to come in the book of in the Old Testament, in the message concerning Noah, as it was in the days of Noah. so shall it be, Jesus said, in the day that the Son of Man cometh. And in Noah's day he prepared an ark, amen, and God sealed them in so that they could survive the judgment that surely followed that sealing. And I want you to know today, there is a coming of the Lord for the church that is the most glorious, most anticipated day in the life of the believer. And there is a coming to judge the world. And there is a coming that brings joy. And there is a coming that's going to bring great fear and sadness. There's a coming that is a secret coming, when we will meet the Lord in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians. But there is also a coming where He stands on Mount Olivet, and every eye will see Him. And the Bible said the world will mourn because of Him. Can you imagine that? Not being glad to see Jesus. See, it's the way we will encounter Him. We will encounter Him as our Redeemer, our Savior, our sacrifice for our sin, or we will encounter Him as our judge and have to stand that judgment to come. And friend of mine, the door of the ark is being held open by the grace of God today, because it's not His will that one person perish, but that all have eternal life. Make no mistake about it, you are greatly loved today. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, He doesn't desire to judge you. He desires and has went to the greatest length anyone could possibly go to save you. So don't miss this broadcast today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22, where we're speaking on the subject of Maranatha, a word of warning and a word of hope. There are twofold meaning in this verse of Scripture. Listen to it. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Pause. Maranatha. Anathema means, as we said last week, we want to review, a man accursed, devoted to the direst of woes, doomed to destruction without hope of being redeemed. Anathema coupled with Maranatha means Christ is coming to judge the world that has rejected Him as Savior, and therein is a word of warning. Maranatha, on the other hand, means the Lord is coming, or the Lord will come, and He's coming to take a bride unto Himself, a collective group of people called the church, praise God, from every nation, tongue, and culture. He's drawing people to Himself to save and to seal for salvation those who will escape the judgment to come. So one word, Maranatha, means hope, because Jesus is coming if you're a Christian. But the fact of Jesus coming, if you're not a Christian, means anathema. He's coming to judge those that have rejected the offer of salvation. Smith's Bible Dictionary defines Maranatha as "our Lord cometh." And one commentator defines it as a watchword of the first century Christians to express the thought, "our Lord cometh." First, let's talk about that word of warning. If Christ is rejected as Savior, His coming will be to bring judgment. Just because it's not in vogue in many religious circles to preach a judgment to come will not change the fact that judgment is coming. Listen to 2 Thessalonians. Let me stop. I want to stop again. I'm not apologizing. I'm just telling you, remember, it's not His will, not His will, that any perish, but that all have eternal life. Listen carefully. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power." I want to read it from the paraphrase, put it very practical and clear. It says, and God shall rest for you who are being persecuted. God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted. And also for us, when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven, He will come with His mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that good news? That you don't have to be lost. That you don't have to face judgment. That you can have your sins forgiven, washed away in the blood of the Lamb. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from His glorious power. Friend, the coming of the Lord will be a terrifying event for the world that has rejected His offer of salvation. I want to read from Matthew 24, verse 29 and 30. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they that see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. To mourn here in the Greek means to cut or to smite, to beat one's breast for grief. The King James uses means to wail and to lament. Revelation 1 and verse 7 says, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. That's what this word anathema means. If we reject Him as our Savior, we will have to face Him as our judge. Anathema, Maranatha, is a terrifying term to the lost. Like holiness sets us apart for blessing, anathema sets one apart for judgment. Maranatha is a word of hope and joyous anticipation for the true church. It means the Lord is coming, and we're not going to wail when we see Him, because we know that our sins have been washed away. You know, the Bible said that we have not been appointed to wrath, justifiable anger, but we have been appointed to receive salvation, deliverance from the wrath to come, deliverance from the judgment, the sure judgment to come. The Lord is coming, and there's holy anticipation in the heart of those whose sins have been forgiven. We long to see Him. We can't wait to see Him coming in the clouds with glory. Whereas the world without the Lord, those who have rejected His call to salvation, must face Him as their judge, and they will wail because of Him. Revelation 22 and verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Praise God. Maranatha denotes a longing for His coming. And this is the message of the gospel, to come just as I am, without one plea, the songwriter wrote, but that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Hallelujah. Just as I am, just as I am, with my sins and my hang-ups, I do a 180-degree turn, and I face the direction of heaven instead of hell, the direction of Jesus instead of the devil. I choose His kingdom over the kingdoms of this fallen world. And the moment I turn, He receives me as His child when I call upon His name. This is the watchword for the true church. When Jesus says He's coming, we respond with joyous anticipation. Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. But right now, there is a waiting Praise God. God is waiting, amen, holding the door, if you please, of the ark open. Why? Because it's not His will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. The true bride of Christ longs for His return. The Spirit who conveys His love bears witness in the heart of the true church. Come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who hears the gospel of Christ and responds can take up the cry, come, Lord Jesus. Anyone who wants to join the redeemed can come and drink of the river of life. And then turn around to someone else and testify that now there's a heart cry. Come, Lord Jesus. Not only does Maranatha denote a longing for Him, but a looking for His coming. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28 says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It doesn't mean that Christ is sinless, that is already established. Without sin means His redemptive work is finished. He's not coming to deal with sin. He did it at the cross for you and for me. He's coming for the redeemed. Hallelujah. The Amplified is very good. It said, even so, it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon Himself and bear as a burden the sins of many, once and once for all, will appear a second time, not to carry any burden of sin or even to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting Him. That's a mouthful, but praise God. I'm glad to be one of those people waiting for. Amen. Eagerly, constantly, patiently waiting for and expecting Him. Those who live in anticipation of His coming will live in a state of readiness. You know, the Bible said, Jesus teaching, be ye also ready, for an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. How do you be ready? Well, number one, you need to come to Jesus and be saved. And then you need holy anticipation. You need Maranatha to become the watchword of your life. Come, Lord Jesus, and live your life in the light of His soon coming. As I said before, don't let the world get you down. Don't let it get you down. The events in this fallen world that will mark the end time, those negative events, worldwide, global events that mark the last of the last days are all so negative. And if we just look at what's going on in the world around us and where it is headed, it's terrifying. It takes us back. It's a very, very gloomy future. There is no savior in any political party. Now, there are certain people we ought to vote for because they're choosing a righteousness for this nation. We should vote for those people who are choosing the right path for America to obtain the blessing of the Lord. But no one in a political party can save America. No one world leader can save the world. There's one coming that says he can, and the world will think he can. He's called the Antichrist, and his false peace will fail, it will falter, and it will ultimately usher in the great tribulation. Ah, but friend, we have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to live in a state of readiness. And that means we are looking for Him and we are longing for His soon coming. Matthew chapter 25 is that word of warning, word of hope again. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened in verse 1 unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. When the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, I know you not. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Live in a state of readiness, looking for His coming, longing for His coming. The word Maranatha should be the watchword of the true believer. And it's a Syriac expression that means the Lord comes. It's used as a greeting in the early church. When believers gathered or parted, they didn't say hello or goodbye. They said Maranatha. If we had the same upward look in the 21st century Christian church, it would revolutionize the church. Oh, that God's people had an awareness of the imminent return of the Savior. Maranatha denotes living in the light of His soon coming. 1 John 3 said, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. One paraphrase reads, all of us look forward to His coming. Stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own. I like what one preacher said. G. Campbell Morgan, a preacher from the last century, said, listen to this carefully, to me, the second coming is the perpetual light in the path which makes the present bearable. I never lay my head down on my pillow without thinking that maybe before the morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. I never begin my work without thinking, perhaps He may interrupt my work and begin His own. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to know Maranatha, according to one Greek scholar, is not a wishful hope, but a cry. It is a summons, similar to a busy New Yorker trying to hail a cab. When you yell, taxi, taxi, and wave your hands, you're asking the cab driver to meet your immediate and urgent need to get somewhere else. When we cry Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, we cry out of our immediate and urgent desire to go with Him to that place where there's no suffering or death, where the gates are always open and the tree of life brings healing to the nations. We cry today, confident that our sins are forgiven, confident that the door of the ark is open wide, confident that when we enter the ark of His grace and mercy, there is safety from the judgment to come. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we are so glad for what Jesus has done for us. You know, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. There's a secret coming called the rapture, when we're going to meet the Lord in the air, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, he said, with the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are living and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Maranatha's taking that statement and capsulizing it and saying, I believe that's going to happen, just like the scriptures teach. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're a Christian today, that word is a joyous, joyous watchword to keep us focused on heaven instead of this world that is destined to experience the tribulation and the cleansing and purifying judgment to come. But I want you to know something today. If you're not a Christian, Maranatha is a scary word, because if you've rejected him as Savior, you have to face him as judge. And that brings that terrible word into play, anathema, separated from God, from his presence and punished. Oh, friend, God doesn't will that any be anathema. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. That's why he sent ministers like myself and others down through the centuries. Tell them. That's why the Spirit is saying to you today, come. And that's why the bride says, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life. Today, I am convinced that the Spirit of God is speaking to two categories of people listening to this broadcast. If you're a Christian, the Lord is speaking to you to be ready for his coming. That you are looking for him. And beyond looking, you are longing for him. And you are living in the light of his soon coming. We used to sing the song, keeping my records bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. And if you're not a Christian today, I know that God is speaking to your heart. He loves you. It's not his will that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. He won't let the scoffers, daring him to come, make him come prematurely. And why doesn't he? Why doesn't he show them? Because he said he's long-suffering, not willing that any perish, but that all have eternal life. So today you're either a Maranatha person, looking and longing for his coming, fearless, because you know you will not face him as your judge, but as your Savior, your sovereign, and your King. Or you're anathema. You've heard the gospel over and over. You continue to choose darkness over light and reject God's offer of salvation. God doesn't want you to be anathema. I'm going to say it again and again and again. It's not his will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. So the Spirit says to you today, beyond my words, or even the Word of God that I've read you, the Holy Spirit himself, he says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life. Oh, friend, come today. Come today. Turn to Jesus today. Invite him into your heart and into your life. Confess him as your Lord and Savior. Let him seal you for salvation. Mark you for mercy. We love you today. Pray that prayer right now. Come into my heart, Jesus. Save my soul. I'm sorry for my sin. I can't change my past, but with your help and grace, I can change my destiny and my future. I want to live with you. Friend, come back next week, will you? and let's talk about Jesus.